72 to 13 vote sends the bill on to President Bush, who had earlier reservations, but says he'll now sign the landmark housing legislation. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid lauded the bill's passage.
This is a fine piece of legislation. I heard a commentary 2 days ago with some economic experts. They said this is one of the most significant pieces of legislation to pass the Congress in the last 25 years.
The measure tightens government control over mortgage giants Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and is designed to help thousands of Americans avoid foreclosure. Reporting live, Ed McCarthy, CNN.
The FDIC takes over two more banks. Regulators now control 28 branches of First National Bank of Nevada and First Heritage Bank in Nevada, Arizona, and California. Former banker Tom Tarter says bank failures impact more than just the depositors.
It's the borrowers also. It's the small businesses and individuals or large corporations who may have credit facilities that they may be using to pay, for instance, payroll.
The banks will reopen Monday as Mutual of Omaha. At least 28 people were killed in a series of explosions in India today. CNN's Sarah Seidner reports on the latest terror attack.
17 blasts went off over a 90-minute period in Ahmedabad, which is west of Delhi, several hours west of Delhi. This comes after a blast that happened in Bangalore, which is a tech hub for this country. There were 5 blasts that blew off in Bangalore.
Officials say about 100 people were injured in today's blast. An email from a terror group to media outlets warned about the attacks. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
For this summer's ultimate fun on the water experience, you need to get into a Sea-Doo personal watercraft or sport boat. For a very limited time, you can get no money down, no interest, and no payments until next season. Plus a gas card valued up to $2,000 based on model or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry in to your local Sea-Doo dealer today for details. Sea-Doo, the good life just got better. Offer ends 8/21/08, subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details or visit seadoo.com.
It's summer and family vacation time is upon us, so before you hit the road, make sure your car is ready at the Sears Summer Travel Sale. Right now at the Sears Auto Center, buy 3 of our best-selling Bridgestone tires and get the 4th free. Come to Sears for everything to get your family and car geared up. Get your car serviced 7 days a week, including nights, and shop while you wait. So come into the Sears Auto Center now and get ready to live like it's summer. Sears.
Restrictions and exclusions apply. Offer on Bridgestone Weatherforce Plus, HP 515, dual APT 3 tires only. See store for details. Offer valid 7/6 to 7/31/08.
Motorists are finally getting a bit of a break at the gas pump. Prices are down about 2 cents a gallon. Neil King, energy reporter with the Wall Street Journal, says high energy costs will take a toll on residents who have to heat their homes this winter.
The average homeowner could be facing a bill of about $4,000. So if you add that to the $2,000 or so that a lot of these people are spending annually on gasoline, you're talking about $6,000 a year on various fuel costs. That's a large portion of a person's income.
Gas has dropped below $4 a gallon, and oil has fallen $5 this week. The city of Lawrence, Massachusetts, is honoring a soldier whose body was recently recovered in Iraq 14 months after he was captured. A military funeral for Army Staff Sergeant Alex Jimenez is being held in the town just north of Boston. 2 other soldiers captured with a 25-year-old also were found dead. This is CNN Radio.
Good afternoon, Columbus. This is Chris Camboris. Time now for the weather forecast for Columbus and vicinity, a service of Elfner Landscape and Organic Lawn Care, offering unique organic solutions to lawn care. Call 218-7366. The weather for Columbus today, looking at a chance of storms this afternoon with a high of 85 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 66 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 87 degrees. Currently in downtown Columbus, it's partly cloudy and 81 degrees at your unofficial weather station, Ohio's Progressive Talk, AM 1580, WVKO.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of 1580 WVKO.
When you hear the tone, the time will be 2:05 Eastern Standard Time. Stay tuned to WVKO 1580 AM for our next scheduled program, The Blue State Diner, with your host, Michael Allwood. But first, a message from the President of the United States, Dwight David Eisenhower.
Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
The walls came down.
Good afternoon, Columbus. You just walked into the Blue State Diner. I'm your host, Michael Allwood, and I am very pleased today to be joined by David Robinson. He is the Democratic candidate for the 12th District Congressional seat. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hello, Central Ohio.
Well, we just heard a very interesting remark from President Eisenhower at the time. Let's start right at the top. Those who are regular listeners of the Blue State Diner probably heard me talk this week on the promo about the fact that the 12th District has been controlled by Republicans for as long as just about anybody around here can remember. And we're going back to the days of Sam Devine. Before that, you go back to John Voorhees. Before that, basically since 1938, with the one exception being Bob Schimansky's one term in Congress, it has been a Republican-controlled district, David.
And that's right.
Right before we went on the air, I was talking about the fact if you look at the 12th district, it is about as American as it gets. It skews almost exactly by only a few percentage points off the national average in terms of demographics across the board. You look at percentages of population, male, female, by ethnicity. If you look at income, if you look at just about anything, we are talking about all American.
That is true. And I would say, in fact, in this year, 2008, the winds of change, they're blowing. And the times there are changing, because the 12th district itself is a district in transition. It's comprised, for those who may not know, of Delaware County, the western half of Licking County, all the way out to Newark. And then here in Franklin County, it includes Dublin, Westerville, New Albany, Gahanna, Reynoldsburg, Pataskala, Bexley, Near East Side, Italian Village, and about half the Short North, and Minerva Park. And I'll tell you, the more time I spend in the district, particularly up north in Delaware, I see that what used to be perhaps a Republican stronghold is a district in transition, with people, like people across the country, looking for something different and opening their minds to new ways, and I would say new candidates. And this is the year, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it, this is the year to turn this district to the Democratic Party.
One of the things I think about when I think about an all-American district, I mean, we're talking about middle income, low middle income, and high middle income. I mean, the majority of the Americans are somewhere in those parameters, mm-hmm. I just described. Mm-hmm. And these are the people who are being hardest hit in these tough economic times. Mm-hmm. We are talking about, being nickel and dimed to death by the bank, by our insurance company, by our phone company. They're always adding some little damn charge to your bill. You look down, sure, and you say, well, what the hell is that?
Yep.
And these are the people, these institutions are the people who back the gentleman who is currently holding the seat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the Republican Pat Tiberi, mm-hmm. whose major contributors are insurance companies, financial institutions, some pharmaceutical companies, lawyers, these sorts of people. Mm-hmm. And these are not people who have the best interests of Americans in mind. They have the best interests of their stockholders in mind, and they're the people who have sent Pat Tiberi to Washington time and again.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for, I think, the populace to recognize where their bread is buttered,
mm-hmm.
and who will represent their needs. I think there are far too many people in Ohio and across this country who vote against their better interest. How do we wake people up to that?
Well, I think as President Eisenhower wisely pointed out, it is dependent upon an alert and knowledgeable citizenship that our liberties can be safeguarded. Mr. Tiberi, who is a lifetime politician, has become expert at what we are calling the Tiberi two-step, where he says one thing when at home here in Ohio, claiming to be your friend, your supporter, whether you're a senior citizen or a veteran, or a small businessman, but then he goes back to D.C. and votes a very different way. Says one thing, does another thing, does the Washington dance that we're calling the Tiberi two-step. So one of my central tasks in this campaign is to focus on Mr. Tiberi's voting record and awaken the citizenship to exactly what is he doing in D.C. and ask themselves whether he's representing their interests and values, and I would say no.
I know that there are some listeners who just prefer to listen to what you have to say, but there are also others who might want to contribute to this conversation. And if you wish to do that, you can call 821-1580. The area code is 614 if you're outside of our area code. 821-1580 if you want to talk to David Robinson. But let's get back to something else that you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are too many times where the voters think that there's not a whole lot of difference between one or the other, so I'm just going to vote for the guy. I know his name, Pat Tiberi. Yeah, I know him. I've seen his name before, so I've never heard of that David Robinson. I'm just going to vote mm-hmm. for Pat Tiberi. Let's talk about the difference, and I challenge listeners to do this. Let's say, imagine for a moment that you know nothing about either of these candidates. And so in this day and age, what people do is they go on the Internet and find out. So here's my challenge to you. I want you to go to Pat Tiberi's official campaign website, and then I want you to go to David Robinson's official campaign website. And the biggest difference between those two things is, if you'll give me just a moment to find... I'm very sorry. I went away from his official site there. But what I was about to say was, there is absolutely nothing on Pat Tiberi's website. This is his official campaign website.
I think the URL is Tiberi.
Oh, I've got it. I've got it now.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is absolutely
mm-hmm.
nothing about issues
right.
on there, or his platform,
mm-hmm.
or his vision. Absolutely
right. Right.
Not one word about it.
Yeah.
But if you go to David Robinson's website, you clearly state what you stand for and what you will do if and when
mm-hmm.
elected.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about these things. And I think one of the things that I find intriguing about your campaign, you've kind of linked some things together. You've linked together the economy, say, and energy. We
mm-hmm.
have an energy problem in this country, and I think you're linking that to how to overcome our economic problems and our energy problems. I'll let you take it from there.
Absolutely. Well, the primary policy initiative that we articulated during the primary is what we call the Apollo 2 Energy Initiative. And simply stated, it recognizes that many of the major long-term problems facing our country, loss of jobs, national security issues, and environmental concerns, all trace back to energy. And it is my belief that by boldly changing the direction of our country away from fossil fuels and towards next-generation renewables, we can revitalize our economy, especially here in Ohio. We are bound to benefit immensely from this program. We have abundant water, farmland, centers of learning, underutilized industrial capacity. We can create American jobs here, quit importing oil at the tune of $1.5 billion a day, quit fighting wars overseas to defend supplies of oil, and we can begin to mitigate the threats of climate change. All traces back to energy, and it's going to take leadership at the top from the president, but with a Congress that will boldly support and articulate and rally the public back home behind this change. So the Apollo 2 Energy Initiative is at the center of what I would champion in Congress.
Listeners of this show know that I have talked about the initiatives that Jimmy Carter took during his presidency and how they were reversed by the Reagan administration.
Yeah.
And I think there's hardly anyone now who wouldn't admit that had we followed through with mm-hmm. what Carter had planned in yeah. terms of energy, that we wouldn't be in the shape we are in now. But at some point, it just has to slap you in the face and say, you know, we must have alternative energy mm-hmm. sources. And you link together the fact that if we start embracing those things, we can create industry by doing so.
Absolutely.
If you think about wind and solar,
yeah.
we are tapping only a tiny portion of the solar power that is available
yeah.
and a tiny portion of
yeah.
wind. I mean,
yeah.
there are many steps to take to get there, though, is there
mm-hmm.
not? I mean, we've got some hoops to jump through.
Absolutely. I find that I meet skepticism on the part of some people that we've been trying to deal with this for 35 years. What's different about now? And I would say, in fact, that we are at a turning point historically. There's a number of forces that are converging. Peak oil, population growth, globalization, and the economics of increased fossil fuel costs, and, of course, climate change. All these things are converging so that it's not simply people on the left that are advocating this move, but just most recently, for instance, T. Boone Pickens, who's waging a national campaign to advocate for wind energy out of the Great Plains states. My friends, it is time to embrace this change. If we resist it, it will happen inevitably anyway, and we will be dragged along instead of shaping this in a direction advantageous to us. The fortunes of this century, the jobs, the businesses that are going to be created this century are going to be by those individuals who can create clean, renewable ways of powering our society. Now, we as a nation, we need to choose whether we're going to lead or whether we're going to follow. 20 years ago, we led the world in solar technology. We've given that up to the Germans and the Japanese. I hope, and I will fight to resist this, but I hope that we do not allow these future businesses to be developed by others where we're buying instead of selling.
I agree with you on every point you made. I think it's a little spooky to hear these things from T. Boone Pickens, but mm-hmm. when somebody like that says it, you
yeah.
have to sit up and take notice.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you added into the equation something that very few people talk about, and that is the population problem that very few people put in that equation.
Sure.
We'll get back to that in a minute. We're going to take a break in a second, but first we're going to hear from a caller, Britt, a friend of the show and a regular listener of WVKO. Britt, did you have a question for David Robinson?
Yeah, I had two quick questions, sir. Mr. Robinson, good afternoon to you. Question number one is, how will you respond to the type of attacks that right-wing pundits give, like the Hannity and Fox News and that type of thing? Because they're going to label you as like a liberal tax and spend type guy. And then number two is, what do you think about curbing the powers of the executive branch and
okay,
giving more power to Congress?
Okay, Britt, that's something that we're going to get to in terms of David actually can't hear you for some reason, but I'm going to relay those questions to him.
That'd be great.
The second one is actually part of David's agenda, and that is bringing the three branches of the government back into balance. But I'm going
right.
to go ahead and address the first question, and that is how are you going to respond to the right-wing talkers who are going to label you a tax and spender, which is certainly not what you intend to do,
mm-hmm.
but it's also just as certain that they are bound to label you as such. How
sure.
do you respond to those is what Britt wanted to know.
I'm for tax cuts also. It just depends where the tax cuts are focused. I'm a small businessman. Incidentally, and the way I look at some of the big economic questions facing our country is in terms of investment in the future. If you're running a business and you're simply milking it for money and not investing in machinery, human capital, it's only a matter of time before your competitors are going to overtake you. You're going to go out of business. Our nation has not been investing sufficiently in the future, and it's my belief that we need to take a hard look at our infrastructure, our sciences, our universities, our healthcare, and, as I said earlier, energy, and point the way to the future. And so whatever spending, I would advocate increased spending, would tend to be directed towards next-generation industries, innovation, job creation. I think they'll have a hard time pegging me as a tax and spend liberal. I would contend that, in fact, I'm probably more conservative in certain ways financially than my opponent. And let's never forget that he has presided over the largest increase in the national debt during his tenure in Congress along with President Bush.
All right, David Robinson, we will be right back, and we've got lots more to talk about. But we're going to take a break here in the Blue State Diner on WVKO. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Blue State Diner on AM 1580 WVKO.
In 2004, if just six Bush voters in each Ohio precinct were persuaded to vote the other way, a Democrat would be president today. Think about it. Just six votes in your neighborhood and there would be no war in Iraq, no declaration of mission accomplished, no heck of a job brownie, no soaring deficit, no $4 gas at the pump, no secret prisons, and no Guantanamo Bay. Six votes. And all of that disappointment, gone. We can't go back in time, but we can change the future. The Republicans are promising four more years of George Bush policies, and the Ohio Democratic Party is organizing to stop them. We're building the largest grassroots organization in the history of Ohio, and we're doing it the right way, from the ground up. Please visit OhioDems.org/radio and donate today. Your financial support will make all the difference. Again, that's www.OhioDems.org/radio. Remember, this year, no regrets. The Ohio Democratic Party is responsible for this communication. Chris Redfern, Chairman. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
In a phrase, affordable elegance. And they prove it every day at the McCoy Center. The McCoy Center. Center Street in historic downtown Old Hilliard is one of Central Ohio's premier meeting and banquet facilities. The McCoy Center features three elegant meeting rooms to accommodate almost any size get-together. Free convenient parking drops your guests right at the front door. And the food is simply spectacular. Don't wait. Book that holiday party now. Call 777-1211, 777-1211, or visit makoy.com.
The summer produce sale is on at San Filippo Produce, 4561 East 5th Avenue. For five generations, the San Filippo Produce Company has supplied the finest fresh fruits and vegetables. Homegrown Ohio produce is now available. Stop by at 4561 East 5th Avenue and ask for Robin. San Filippo Produce is a proud supporter of Progressive Talk Radio and WVKO and looks forward to serving you. San Filippo Produce, 4561 East 5th, near the airport.
Close Sunday and Monday.
The big bosses of the political field, the beneficiaries of privilege in the field of industry, the men who represent that sinister alliance between crooked politics and crooked business, which has done more than anything else for the corruption of American life, are united as one man against the genuine rule of the people themselves. The privileged classes, the representatives of special privilege, of special interest, can always make terms with a boss or bosses. They can make terms with the bosses who dominate the Republican Party. They can make terms with the bosses who dominate the Democratic Party. But they can't make terms with the people. They can't make terms with the men who honestly and genuinely represent the popular will.
Same as it ever was
here in the Blue State Diner with Michael Allwood with you on a Saturday. And you just heard the sage words of Theodore Roosevelt, who I'm happy to say has made his first appearance in the Blue State Diner. Also making his first appearance in the Blue State Diner, David Robinson, candidate for Congress in the 12th District of Ohio. David, thanks for coming today.
My pleasure.
We were talking before we had a caller who phoned in, and his basic question was how to restore the balance, the checks and balance that is written into our Constitution, mm-hmm. and yet has been tossed aside, trampled on, and I heard somebody else describe it differently, and that was John Elliott, and I won't even say how he described it, but I think you possibly could imagine. How let's say that you are successful, and we certainly hope you are, and when you go to Washington, how will you help to restore the Constitution and the checks and balances in our government that we're supposed to have?
Mm-hmm. Well, we must never forget that in our Constitution, it is the legislative branch that is articulated first, followed by the executive, then the judiciary. The Constitution itself has not changed over the last 8 years. It is the people who have been running our government at the executive and legislative branches that have. So it is up to the individuals in office at any given time to be mindful of and to enforce the structure and dynamics of the Constitution. I am mindful of that. I am devoted to the Constitution, and I would seek coalitions of like-minded individuals, both Democrats and Republicans, who, in fact, believe the Constitution is the bedrock of our healthy democracy. So I would be a champion for speaking out against and bringing witness and maybe even congressional hearings and subpoena power to any violations of the Constitution as I saw them.
Now, there was something I'm gonna break into this mm-hmm. discussion and allow mm-hmm. you. There was something that you wanted to tell our listeners about, and because I have another question I want to get back to.
Sure.
Let's interrupt what we're doing and talk about this.
Are you referring to Obama?
No. You were telling me that you had something you wanted to talk about. Another project you've got going.
Oh. Perhaps we were miscommunicating.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about it. Maybe that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I had mentioned to you that there were a lot of people in Ohio and across mm-hmm. the country. I was so excited about mm-hmm. Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And once again, regular listeners know that I have been harping on the fact that if we send Barack Obama to the White House, he's going to be much better off if he has a Congress. And I'm talking about both houses of Congress that have a better ratio mm-hmm. of Democrats in it. So it's a very important for us here in Central Ohio, especially with these three congressional districts, all of which have been controlled by Republicans.
Yeah.
And so I tell listeners that, look, if you're involved in campaigning, that you should also give a little love to our candidates here in Central Ohio.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
What can they do? What can the average person to do to help in that effort?
Well, Michael, earlier, just a few minutes ago, you mentioned how the 12th District is a microcosm of America. And in fact, I've become very mindful of that during this campaign. It stretches all the way up to northern Delaware, down here to the inner city of Columbus. I love this diversity. I think it makes the 12th District one of the most fascinating in the country. This year in particular, I think that Barack Obama is going to benefit Democrats in the 12th District. The Obama effect, as I call it, is going to impact us here. We have 10 colleges and universities in the 12th District. And somewhere between one-fifth and one-fourth of the electorate is African and African-American. And we all know that they're particularly energized this election cycle and are going to turn out in record numbers. They're going to hopefully help push us over the top. One more comment, if I might make, about the viability of this race for Democrats. Going back to 2004, George Bush officially, I add, outpolled Kerry by just 2 percentage points. In 2006, there were 4 statewide Democratic candidates that won in the 12th. Ted Strickland got 58% of the vote, Sherrod Brown 52.5%. And following the 2008 primaries, and this is surprising to many listeners, I bet, following the 2008 primaries, there are now more registered Democrats than Republicans in all three counties comprising the 12th. Even in Delaware County, there are now more registered Democrats than Republicans. So this is the year to do it. We've just got to be energetic. And I would urge voters out there who want to complete the sweep between the 15th, where Mary Jo's running, the 18th to the east with Zach Space, and here in the 12th, Robinson, to please go to my website, robinson2008.com. Check it out. Join us, robinson2008.com.
And I think in the 7th they could use a little help there, too.
Absolutely.
That's that wacky district that meanders and some would say gerrymanders all over the southern part of this district.
Absolutely.
And to the west. One of the things that I wanted to get to was funding. Mm-hmm. And earlier we talked about the actual concrete differences between the two candidates in this race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think aside from the issues, which are very difficult to pin Pat Tiberi down on, is the funding.
Yeah.
And his funding comes from, well, as we said, insurance, finance, those sorts of institutions, and the vast majority of your funding has been from private individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, what can our listeners do to help overcome that difference mm-hmm. in funding? Because that's a real thing. That's a real situation that occurs, and it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a fight every day, to be honest. Michael, I've become aware that our political system is in many ways broken. President Eisenhower spoke about the military-industrial complex. I sometimes think in terms of the industrial media political complex. My opponent has raised over $750,000 in PAC money this year alone. Our campaign, in contrast, is being driven and energized and funded by primarily private contributions. So if you want to look at how and why Pat Tiberi votes certain ways, I'd say look at the money. Follow the money back to its sources, and there's a pretty direct relationship between where he's receiving his funding and how he votes. So if you're looking for a candidate that is not going to be bound and be in the pocket, the special interest, David Robinson is your man. If you like the way things are moving and the direction the country's going in, and you think we're going to be better off 2 years, 5 years from now than we are now, then I am not your man. But if you want change, real change, someone who will champion new ideas, then David Robinson is your candidate.
And to just to illustrate what David was talking about, I invite people to go to opensecrets.org. And there you can, really all you have to do is click in the Ohio District 12, and you can go down and you can actually see the figures. And right here I'm looking at Pat Tiberi. This is who is funding his campaign. At the top of the list, insurance companies, to the tune of $124,000, almost $125,000. Then comes securities and investment. That's $68,000 plus. Then there's lawyers and law firms, $80,000. Health professionals, real estate, commercial banks, pharmaceuticals, health companies, electric utilities. This is from top to bottom. Lobbyists, accountants, retail sales, bond, air transport. This is his list of funding. And if you go down and look at David Robinson, he's gotten just a little bit over $20,000 from who? Retired people. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that David Robinson is getting money from retired people because, and once again, I refer back to his website. If you look down and go into what David thinks about the seniors in our community, a population that is growing year after year after year, and so many times our politicians kind of only pay attention to them when it's election time, and they know they can go over there and grab a hand and shake it and smile at them and pat them on the back and ask them how the tapioca is, and they get their vote. David, this is a concern, is it not?
Absolutely. Let me please respond to that, then, Michael, and to the listeners. Obviously, my campaign is going to be outspent, but I am not crying in my milk at all. When people ask me how much money are you going to raise, my quick response is as much as we need to win, and I believe we will do that. As I said earlier, I am a small businessman. We are going to wage a very smart, effective campaign and in an efficient manner. So although I will be outspent, I know that we can win this, even if we are outspent 5-6, 7-1. So the money is not, in the end, what matters. It is the voters. And I am not beaten down by the financial disparity between us, but I think it is important for voters to understand when they see the negative attack ads, which no doubt will come.
Yeah, I expect them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Where they're being funded. On the other hand, I am going to be waging what is called a sleaze-free campaign, focusing on issues, not intentionally distorting or demeaning my opponent, but instead sticking to the facts, talking about things that really matter to the voters of the 12th.
Well, I commend you for that. I think I have been very proud that Barack Obama has taken pretty much a high road. I mean, he's had a number of opportunities to say some negative things about his opponent. He had the opportunity just 2 days ago, or it might have been just yesterday, to say some negative things. I don't know if you heard the soundbite about him talking about they asked Barack, while he was in Europe, how he would differ from the current president, and he simply said that he would not do that because of a long-standing tradition to not make those comments about while overseas. And is this the kind of ideal you're following as well? I mean,
sure.
Not specifically that one, but I mean, take the high road.
I'd say take the high road, but you know, I recognize politics is hardball. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to challenge my competitor forcefully, and I will. I plan to point out to the best of my ability to the public exactly what he's done. So I'm not shy about conflict and hardball. But what I will not do is intentionally distort or deceive the public.
I've always been of the opinion that the facts are our best weapon in any argument anyway. And I think that people understand facts when they hear them, and they understand a load of BS when they hear that, too.
I believe so, too. And I think people are tired of hearing garbage, as if that's what they really care about. But let me say something real quick. Just this morning, I was out in Licking County. I went to the JFK pancake breakfast. Congressman Zach Space spoke there, and he made an observation about Barack Obama that I'd like to share with the listeners. He said, I've had the chance to spend some time with Barack, and he said Barack really is an extraordinary individual. When you spend time with him, you come away not only believing in him, but believing in yourself more so than before. And I think that's something that we can all look forward to with great anticipation, and I would hope that if the people of the 12th send me to D.C., that I will be the kind of congressman that actually makes them believe in their country, themselves, and me as their representative.
Okay, David, we have a couple people who have some questions, if you don't mind. First of all, we have Tom on the line from Columbus. Tom, did you have a question for David?
Yes, I do. Two things. Number one, I look forward to him being a congressman. Even though I'm going to be working for Mary Jo Kilroy, I really like what he's saying. Mr. Robinson, you brought up the point of you called it the military-industrial media complex. And I think that's spot on, because even though George Bush is wildly unpopular, somehow the memes keep being driven by the media. You know, like, the surge was a success. You know, Obama is a radical. And what do you do to fight that?
Yeah, he's having trouble. For some reason, we're having trouble with his headphones, Tom. Your question is, how do you fight the assertions that he's a radical? I've been hearing the people on Fox keep pounding away at the fact that he's the most liberal senator and all that. Is that what you're getting at? How do you fight that? I think Tom has left us, but I think that is that is what Tom's wanting to know. I mean, they're painting people like your candidates like yourself as being radical. How is this radical?
I think you got to be smart. You got to be in touch and in tune with the public, and convey your message in every manner you can. There's no simple answer. This is, again, it's hardball, and we've got to be smart and draw on deep resources internally, as well as you know, raise the money and do all those things that are the nuts and bolts of politics. And I do believe that appealing to the better angels of people's nature in the end is a preferable way to go, and more forceful, more powerful than using fear and distortion.
Yes, and I believe that the electorate is listening more closely than ever before because of the way things are today, and I think they're more open to hearing the truth.
Yeah, and also another way, thank God for the internet. If you go to Obama's website, he has that I think fight
the smear.
Yeah. We are going to be putting up on our website a page, the truth of the matter, in which we will be posting, well, presumably attacks coming, and then our response. And so I think the internet affords the population quick access to multiple sources of information, which, by the way, is a policy that I will champion in Congress, is net neutrality and the privacy rights of internet users.
And we have John on the line now. John, did you have a question for David?
Yes, Dave. Hang in there, man. I'll tell you what, you're a breath of fresh air.
I'm feeling strong. Don't worry about me. But thanks for the words.
Well, the only thing that that I'd like to ask you, I mean, in about 10 years, I'm going to be a senior citizen.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a long time for this stuff, all these new energies, you know, systems to come online.
Sure.
And by that time, I'm probably going to be in deep doo-doo. Mm-hmm. If there would be a way that you could reach across the aisle, actually, you don't have to reach across the aisle.
Yeah.
You could talk to some of the people that are firmly entrenched on our left and get them to acquiesce a little bit to put the coal-fired plants back in full operation and minimize the damage until we can get these other energies online. We're talking the degradation of the American way of life unless that mm-hmm. happens. Now, I had heard a rumor, and I'm not sure, I heard a rumor that AEP was going to petition the PUCO for a 38% rate increase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to kill some of us people that are, you know, already on the edge.
Sure.
And going back to the senior citizens, people who are on a fixed income are really going to be hurt by it. I have not heard that. I don't know if you have, David, about that 38% increase.
I have not.
Okay.
But I'll be happy to respond to John's comment.
Okay, go ahead.
John, I would say that actually there are many things that we can do immediately. Efficiency is what is often described as the low-hanging fruit, and there are many things we can do immediately, and by that I mean tomorrow and things that will have impacts in 1, 2, 3, 5 years from now, where we can reduce demand for electricity without compromising our way of life and, in fact, saving money and creating jobs in those industries in the meantime. Further, a number of the renewable sources, wind, for instance, we can make a significant change within 5 to 10 years if we begin now boldly. Vice President Gore recently made a call for all of our nation's electricity to be generated through renewable sources within 10 years. It is technically feasible if we have the national will. So I personally do not think that using and certainly building any more coal-fired power plants is the answer for us. There's things we can do right now. Smart metering for both homeowners and businesses in which electricity rates are charged on an hourly basis instead of a flat fee will itself motivate people to use electricity in different ways that will smooth out peak load demand, mitigating or minimizing or eliminating the need for additional coal-fired power plants. So in a nutshell, there's things we can do right now where we can change the equation in the energy markets that will have an immediate impact. I'm sometimes asked by people, David, what can we do right now about gas prices? In my mind, the thing that could impact gas prices most significantly immediately would be for a bold, serious, dramatic energy plan to be passed in Congress, signed by the President, that would send immediate shockwaves across global oil markets, beginning to depress prices. I think that's the most significant thing we would do. It would change the psychology of oil markets immediately.
Well, Jimmy Carter had something in mind, you went back to him, and he had put in place, and I think it was to the tune of about $85 billion, I don't know, mm-hmm. maybe it's $1 million, but anyway, he was looking mm-hmm. at ways to pull the coal gasification, all the rest of that out of there. And what happened is, of course, the oil companies and the energy companies, they could not maintain, you know, the prices, okay, mm-hmm. because what happens is the Saudis have dropped the bottom out of the...
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
We're being held hostage by these people. We have to do something right. in the interim.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, John, thank you very much for the call. And I agree with you, John, that we need to do things. But I think what happens, and this is something I wanted to get to in terms of your candidacy yeah. and your philosophy, there has to be, we kind of have to, it's fine to think in grand schemes, mm-hmm. but we also have to think about the pragmatic
sure.
aspect of it. And I think that's something just from hearing you talk and just from reading on your website about your ideas, I think that if nothing else, you've taken a pragmatic approach in everything. It's very obvious to me that you've done a lot of studying on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the kind of thing you're trying to tell John in terms of you have to understand the reality of what is and deal with it that way?
Well, absolutely, and I
I'm not saying John or suggesting that John is not in tune with reality, but I think
certainly not.
Yeah.
Sure.
But again, I'm a small businessman. I'm more interested in results than ideology, and I certainly don't have all the answers at this point in time. I think I have many of them, and my basic principles I think are sound that I'd bring to Congress. But yeah, I am a problem solver. I'm interested in results, and I tend to look into the future and think about where the world and our country is going. And I'd say an informing desire of mine is to leave our country in a stronger position when I leave Congress than when I enter, and certainly at the end of my life I want to leave the planet a better place for our children than when I was born into.
You see, now that's what Brett was, or that was what Tom was talking about. You obviously have radical ideas. Who cares about the future?
Right.
The time is now. David, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. I know that you have other places to be today, and I'm not going to keep you much longer.
Thank you.
But we've gotten into too much here, and I think this has been too informative to let it go for now. But we're going to take a break here in the Blue State Diner. I'm Michael Allwood, and I'll be right back.
Columbus Clippers Baseball provides the best entertainment for your dollar. The top names in sports entertainment, fireworks, exclusive giveaways, and the world-famous Diamond Dog Nights are just a few of the exciting promotions the Clippers have to offer. Adult tickets start as low as $6, with youth and senior admission just $3 each. To order your tickets for any upcoming Clippers games, simply call 614-462-5250 or log on to ClippersBaseball.com. The Columbus Clippers, our town, our team.
For the best deals around on all your meat purchases, visit Columbus's good old-fashioned retail meat market. Meatpackers Outlet at 317 South 5th Street, downtown. Meatpackers Outlet has daily low prices on beef, pork, poultry, smoked meats, and deli items. Here are some of this week's specials at Meatpackers Outlet.
Pork spare ribs, $1.99 a pound. Sugardale wieners, a one-pound package for 99 cents. 10-count frozen hamburger patties, $4.95. Pork bratwurst or Italian sausage, $3.29 a pound.
Need steaks, chicken, or ribs for your summer cookout? Call Meatpackers Outlet at 469-1720 and order yours now. Celebrating over 50 years of service to the community, Meatpackers Outlet, 317 South 5th Street, downtown Columbus. Call 469-1720. That's 469-1720. Check us out at meatpackersoutlet.com.
In 2004, if just 6 Bush voters in each Ohio precinct were persuaded to vote the other way, a Democrat would be president today. Think about it. Just 6 votes in your neighborhood and there would be no war in Iraq, no declaration of mission accomplished, no heck of a job, Brownie, no soaring deficit, no $4 gas at the pump, no secret prisons, and no Guantanamo Bay. 6 votes. And all of that disappointment, gone. We can't go back in time, but we can change the future. The Republicans are promising 4 more years of George Bush policies, and the Ohio Democratic Party is organizing to stop them. We're building the largest grassroots organization in the history of Ohio, and we're doing it the right way, from the ground up. Please visit OhioDems.org/radio and donate today. Your financial support will make all the difference. Again, that's www.OhioDems.org/radio. Remember, this year, no regrets. The Ohio Democratic Party is responsible for this communication. Chris Redfern, Chairman. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
We are back here in
the Blue State Diner with your host, Michael Allwood.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Bart. And with me here in the Blue State Diner today is David Robinson. He is the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 12th District. And, David, we mentioned earlier about the campaign coffers of your opponent, Pat Tiberi, who have been filled by corporate interests. And you are getting money from average, everyday Joes. And I was wondering, what if my listeners wanted to say, just a figure out of the sky, mm-hmm. wanted to contribute $15.80, $15.80, mm-hmm. Because of our spot on the dial here.
Yeah.
What if they wanted to do that? How would they go about doing it?
Well, there's
and would you turn it down?
Oh, no. We like small donations and big. It's not only the amount, it's the numbers.
And there's two easy ways. One is our website, robinson2008.com. Hit one of those big contribute buttons. But another way is through the Act Blue website. I'm proud and happy to announce that we are the number one hot campaign on Act Blue currently, because we received something in the order of 250 contributions in the last week. So if you want to donate through Act Blue, it's real easy to do. Go to their homepage, and David Robinson will be number one pick.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you one last question, because I know that you have some things to do,
yeah.
and you need to go, and I've kept you longer than I said I would, and I apologize for that. But
my
I
pleasure.
Also thank you for staying here and talking about these things. I believe these are things that people need to know. And there's something that came up time and time again over the last week, and that was John McCain's words to the effect that Barack Obama was willing to lose a war in order to win an election.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier you talked about professional politicians. And I have said many times on this show that there are far too many people in government that are there because they are nothing more than professional politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They are not committed to a cause. They are not invested in the interest of helping their people. They are interested in investing in their career as a politician. And
mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that you're not in this for the money. I believe, just from reading what you have to say and from talking to you,
mm-hmm.
that your goal is to represent the people. And that, here's one of those radical ideas again
mm-hmm.
coming up. I'm out there too. Your goal, it seems to me, is to represent the people of the 12th district. Is that correct? Have I read this right?
That's absolutely right. I'm running, really, Michael, because I feel just a burning in my heart and gut about what has transpired over the last 7.5 years. And I'm no longer willing to sit idly by when I believe I can do something about it. So this is a mission for me. It is a mission that I believe in deeply. I'm digging deep, and I'm asking listeners out there who believe that the best days of our country are ahead of us, and that people can make a difference, and that the history doesn't always determine the future, to please join our campaign and help us make a difference here in the 12th. This is the year to do it. I am the candidate to do it. I've got ideas, I've got energy, and in a relatively moderate conservative district, I half-jokingly say we're going to get a lot of these moderate Republican votes, in part because I even look more Republican than Pat Tiberi. So check out the website and see what you think.
I would have to say that might be true. Pat is such a doughy little twerp. I didn't just say that. Listen, David Robinson, you're a great American, a good man, and the kind of guy that I would like to see go to Washington to represent the people of Central Ohio, for crying out loud, rather than supporting and represent the big money interests. And it's all too often our politicians do just that. And you said this is why you're doing it, because you're fed up. You can't stand it anymore. Well, that's the reason I'm doing this show, and I'm glad that we can converge for that reason.
Thank you, listeners.
All right. And I will be right back with one last word. Our thanks to David Robinson, the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 12th District. I urge you to support him. This is Michael Allwood. I'll be right back.
Want to hear something really shocking? I clean my toilet bowl with my bare hands.
Sean Gilbo leans left and knows clean.
Many toilet bowl cleaners contain hydrochloric acid. The main ingredient in the natural toilet bowl cleaner is citric acid from fermented corn. It cleans to the bowl, removes hard water stains, and when used properly, requires no special equipment, like gloves.
Learn more about the all-natural cleaning products by visiting cleanleft.com.
Save green, buy blue, spend liberally. Cleanleft.com.
An affiliate of SFI Marketing Group, Columbus, Ohio.
In 2004, if just 6 Bush voters in each Ohio precinct were persuaded to vote the other way, a Democrat would be president today. Think about it. Just 6 votes in your neighborhood and there would be no war in Iraq. No declaration of mission accomplished. No heck of a job, Brownie. No soaring deficit. No $4 gas at the pump. No secret prisons. And no Guantanamo Bay. 6 votes. And all of that disappointment, gone. We can't go back in time, but we can change the future. The Republicans are promising 4 more years of George Bush policies, and the Ohio Democratic Party is organizing to stop them. We're building the largest grassroots organization in the history of Ohio, and we're doing it the right way, from the ground up. Please visit ohiodems.org/radio and donate today. Your financial support will make all the difference. Again, that's www.ohiodems.org/radio. Remember, this year, no regrets. The Ohio Democratic Party is responsible for this communication. Chris Redfern, Chairman. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
You're listening to the Blue State Diner on AM 1580 WVKO.
And I want to thank you for being with me on this Saturday. Nice it is. And we want to thank once again David Robinson for being here and to lay out his campaign and what he believes in. And I certainly believe that he is deserving to go to Washington, and I certainly hope that he does that. And one last thing before we go. A couple of weeks ago, I was telling you all about kind of a tragedy that happened in front of the studio whereby a mother dove was crushed in the street, and how I was a big enough sap to pick up the baby dove that was left in the gutter as a result of that. And I told you at that time that I took it home and I was asking for advice on how to feed it, to keep it alive. And I am happy to report it has now been 2 weeks and the little baby dove has made it just fine. And Veronica has named him Lawrence. And he is a little Dickens. He is getting bigger by the day. It is our best hope that in not too long from now, a week or so, we are hoping very much that he is able to fly away and join his fellow doves wherever it is they go. I know that we used to have a lot of them at our bird feeder. We moved at the beginning of the year, and we no longer have the big bird feeder, but we still feed the finches. We still feed the hummingbirds, so we don't see a lot of the doves anymore, although we are trying to teach Lawrence how to peck at seed. It has been an experience and an education raising a baby dove, and one of the things that I found out right off is that baby doves don't eat the same way most baby birds eat. It's an odd thing. Most parent birds feed their babies by forcing food down the baby's throat. Turns out, and of course for the first few days we did not know this, but it turns out baby doves do it just the opposite. Baby doves put their beak in their mother and father's throat and gets food that way. Well, it took a couple of days for us to figure it out. But once we got it figured out how it is they eat, well, then he took to it like a fish to water. And now, of course, he follows us around. And as soon as we keep him on the porch, and as soon as we come to the door and he thinks it's feeding time, he goes a little bit crazy. He flies to us now and chases around his little baba because we had to rig up a little deal. Boy, we put the formula through it, and now we've been mixing the seeds in there with the formula. And he's just been gobbling that stuff up. And he's become a little bit of a brat, to tell you the truth, but he's as cute as he can be, and we are very anxious to eventually see him fly away and join his fellow doves in the outside world. So I am sure that next week that I will be updating you once again on what's going on with the life of Lawrence. That's going to be the new segment of the Blue State Diner, Life of Lawrence, and how he's getting along out there in Canal Winchester with his mother and father, Michael and Veronica. Of course, the cats are mad at us, but they don't think they're at the top of the food chain anymore for some reason. Although, actually, they think that Lawrence is at the bottom of the food chain. They keep watching him out the window. This is Michael Allwood, and I'm saying so long from the Blue State Diner. Don't worry, we're going to keep him safe. See you next week.
finally, the liberal media you've heard so much about. 1580 WVKO Columbus.
CNN Radio, I'm John Lewis. President Bush will soon be getting legislation concerning housing reform. It was passed by the Senate during a rare Saturday session. CNN national correspondent Ed McCarthy joins us live with the details.
John, it may have been a strange sight to see members of the Senate working on a weekend day, but they did and passed the House legislation designed to help some 400,000 homeowners with the clock ticking on foreclosure. Connecticut Senator Christopher Dodd is a principal author